The following episode contains discussions of violence and other sensitive topics that may be distressing to some listeners. While we aim to approach these subjects with care and responsibility, listener discretion is advised. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the History on the Rocks podcast. We are just cruising along with our JFK series. I hope you're having a great week so far. It's Friday, and we're almost there. If you're listening to this in the morning, you probably have just about 8 hours till the weekend. If you're listening to this after work, congratulations, it's the weekend. This is your host, Cody, and I am very excited today to bring you episode 6 of our JFK series. And like I said, there's a lot of information here. We've got a lot going on. I've given you guys a lot of content the last few days, and that's just literally a stone's throw in the ocean of where this is. But I've been trying to break it down to you just in the most simple form to give you an idea of where we're headed. So I hope you guys are tuning in. You're listening. I put out those maps on Instagram earlier this week, and we're going to talk about those maps. I know there's a lot of different colored lines and all that kind of stuff, but don't worry. We're going to talk about each and every one of those lines and kind of start to build towards that theory, because next episode, we are going to get into specifically my theory of what I believe, but also some of the other theories out there that you've probably heard before. And today, on this episode, we are going to talk about the day that JFK was assassinated.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you a bulletin from WCBS Radio News. The story, as it is just being handed to me, is datelined Dallas, Texas. It says, according to the United Press, 3 shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade today in downtown Dallas. The incident occurred near the county sheriff's office on Main Street, just east of an underpass, leading toward the trademark, in Dallas.
In a politically divided world, it's important to be able to distinguish between ridiculous conspiracies and those that have an actual argument to be made. Outrageous theories like the world being run by lizard people or flat earth just make a bad name for those researching questionable events, like we are in this one. Now, I believe asking questions is important to get to the truth. Now, let's be honest. There are things the government wants to keep from us. They aren't very transparent. When you have a national security agency and a central intelligence agency, it's clear secrets will be kept. Even those at the top of government don't have clearance to view the most secret of files. So it's up to us sometimes, the public, to use our own 5 senses to determine what the truth really is. That's what we're going to do over the next 2 episodes to wrap up our JFK series. We're not going to dive into paranoia and full distrust of the government, but simply look for the truth of who was behind Kennedy's murder and why the evidence just does not add up. In fact, Kennedy, during his presidency, welcomed his critics to question his policies and the government in general. This is how he gained so much of the public's trust. He would encourage us to do the same. It's not the theories that we really care about. It's the facts. Since the Kennedy assassination, the term conspiracy theorists, that label is just one that's been ridiculed and mocked. Mostly people that believe in conspiracy theories, they're deemed as crazy. I think what's crazy is letting government corruption reoccur without ever questioning its true motives and operations. That's where I believe we fail as the American people. We are too comfortable with accepting things for what the government says they are, instead of questioning and thinking for ourselves. In these 2 episodes coming up, we are going to change the status quo and prepare to be uncomfortable because the truth may be more outrageous than we all think.
In Dallas, Texas, 3 shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting. More details just arrived. President Kennedy shot today just as his motorcade left downtown Dallas. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up and grabbed Mr. Kennedy. She called, "Oh, no." The motorcade sped on. United Press says that the wounds for President Kennedy perhaps could be fatal. Repeating, President Kennedy has been shot by a would-be assassin in Dallas, Texas.
On November 22, 1963, President John F. Kennedy and his wife Jackie Kennedy were in the third row of the presidential convertible with Governor John Connally and his wife Nellie seated in the second row just in front of them. The car was being driven in a parade by two Secret Service agents. Another car followed the presidential vehicle, carrying the rest of the Secret Service detail for the president on running boards. Behind that vehicle, another couple cars followed, one carrying Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson and his wife, Lady Bird, and others carrying members of the press who were following the president through his many meetings in Dallas that infamous day. The presidential parade rolled through the streets of Dallas as JFK and Jackie waved to the excited crowds that had gathered. The car rolled down Main Street, took a right onto Houston Street, then took a left onto Elm, which passed the Texas School Book Depository on the president's right-hand side. Elm Street, just for some context, is a curved road that connects with I-35 East, where the president would be off to his next meeting of the day. As the limo slowly rolled down Elm Street, a series of shots rang out.
We're here at the trademark. The motorcade is coming by here. I can see many, many motorcycles coming by now, police motorcycles. Just heard a call on the radio for all units along Industrial to pick up the motorcade. Something has happened here. We understand there has been a shooting. The presidential car coming up now. We know it's the presidential car. You can see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, spread eagle, over the top of the car. We understand Governor and Mrs. Connally are in the car with President and Mrs. Kennedy. We can't see who has been hit, if anybody's been hit, but apparently something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. I'm in behind the motorcade, trying to follow them. It looks as though they're going to Parkland Hospital. We're on the road to Parkland at this time. The Secret Service man is still spread eagle over whoever is in the car, the President and Mrs. Kennedy, and as we understand, Governor and Mrs. Connally. At this point, it looks as though it could have been one or two or even all of the people within the car may have been the victims, may have been struck by shots. We don't know.
A wave of confusion swarmed through the onlookers as some ran from the scene, others hitting the ground, and some just standing around trying to figure out what was happening in their surroundings. A very tense situation. All of this was caught on a home movie camera by a man named Abraham Zapruder, a bystander who was standing atop the infamous grassy knoll, and he started recording as the president made his way down Elm Street. As you watch this grainy footage, and you can find this on YouTube, there's many different versions of it. It's actually been restored quite well. You will see a lot going on within just about 30 seconds. However, breaking the video down frame by frame has raised more questions over the last 60 years than it has given answers. Now, like I said, you can pull this video up and watch it on your own as we discuss this further. Now, you'll see the limo takes its slow rolling left turn onto Elm Street, and you can see the president and the first lady. They're waving, smiling to the crowd, just like a normal presidential parade. You will then see the president disappear a bit in the video as a freeway sign gets in the way. And as he reemerges, he has his hands up to his throat. And the first lady is leaning over, you know, worried, and she knows something is wrong. This begins at about the 15-second mark of the restored video. Whichever version you're watching, you'll know the point that I'm talking about. You then see the car picking up speed, just a little bit. And just 6 seconds later, at 21 seconds of the restored video on YouTube, you will see the fatal kill shot that hits Kennedy in the head. The impact of this bullet takes off the front right part of the president's skull, and you see his body fall back to the left into the first lady. At this moment, the first lady, obviously in shock, climbs onto the back of the limousine, in which a Secret Service agent is running behind the car, making sure she does not fall out of it. He then jumps onto the back bumper, and the car takes off under a railroad overpass to the interstate and heads directly to Parkland Hospital.
President Kennedy and Governor John Connally have been cut down by assassin's bullets in downtown Dallas. They were riding in an open automobile when the shots were fired. The president, his limp body carried in the arms of his wife Jacqueline, has rushed to Parkland Hospital.
At 1:33 p.m. Central Time, not more than an hour after the first shots were fired, President John F. Kennedy was pronounced dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States is dead. John F. Kennedy has died of the wounds received in an assassination in Dallas less than an hour ago. We repeat, it has just been announced that President Kennedy is dead.
Sources now confirm. We have this from Washington. Government sources now confirm that President Kennedy is dead.
At 2:20 p.m., JFK's body is loaded onto Air Force One, and LBJ is sworn in as president at 2:38 p.m.
Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
Now again, remember the times here. 1:33 p.m., the President is announced dead. Less than an hour later, his body's already loaded onto Air Force One, and Lyndon B. Johnson is sworn in as President just 18 minutes later. During all this, a 24-year-old man named Lee Harvey Oswald was on the run. Lee Harvey Oswald was a communist sympathizer and a young man who had a troubled past. He had just gotten a job at the Texas School Book Depository just about a month before the assassination of JFK. We'll touch more on this a little bit later. He was also an ex-Marine and had married a Russian woman. It is said that Oswald departed the TSD, the Texas School Book Depository. So when I say TSD, that's what we're referring to. He left that building around 12:31 p.m., just after allegedly shooting the president. He was stopped and questioned by a police officer in the building cafeteria, but with the help of the depository's building superintendent, Oswald was free to go. Pretty much vouched for him, said, "No, he works here. He has nothing to do with this." At 1:15 p.m., an officer named J.D. Tippett is gunned down by a man he confronted in a Dallas neighborhood. Again, we'll touch on this a little bit later. And at 1:22 p.m. on the sixth floor of the TSD, police discover a rifle behind a stack of books by an open window with a sight line of the president's route on the street below. At 1:45 p.m., Lee Harvey Oswald is arrested. 2 days after the assassination, Lee Harvey Oswald is shot and killed by Jack Ruby in the basement of the Dallas police station as he was being transferred. Another oddity in the whole situation. But again, I'm going to keep you in suspense because we're going to talk more about that later. The odd thing about the Officer Tippett murder is that witnesses claim there were two men involved in the assault on the officer. One being described as a short and heavy-set man, the exact opposite of Lee Harvey Oswald's stature. One of those witnesses identifies Oswald in a police lineup, but this is just after she had seen him on TV. And in many cases, eyewitnesses falsely identify people because they have that image already in their brain from something that had just occurred, rather than what they actually witnessed during the event. Like, if you watch true crime, I'm a huge true crime fan, you're going to see a lot of cases of this, so I'm not just making this up. Another witness named Warren Reynolds claimed he saw the gunman running from the scene, but did not see the actual shooting of the officer. He said this man was not Lee Harvey Oswald, but after he actually survived an attempt on his life, Reynolds changed his story, saying that, oh yeah, it was Oswald that he saw. So, pressure from an accomplice? The government? Maybe even the mob? See, now I'm foreshadowing. My favorite part, and I say this sarcastically, obviously, but my favorite part of this, as a gun owner and someone who shoots guns, is that four bullet cases are found at the scene of Officer Tippett's shooting. And this shooting was done with a revolver, which means that the shooter would have had to shoot Tippett, manually eject the casings from the revolver's cartridge, and then take off running. If you shoot someone with a revolver and you're a criminal, you're not unloading it to leave evidence behind, especially if you are also being chased down as the alleged assassin of the President of the United States just moments before. Now, obviously, this is a short timeline of events from that day that I'm giving you. But we're going to go through this step by step and discuss some areas which raise a lot of questions and, quite frankly, don't make a lot of sense, especially to me. It almost seems things went too perfectly wrong that day And the crime enthusiast in me, it doesn't believe many of the coincidences throughout the whole assassination event and the evidence that they found. But let's go back to the beginning. Back to when the open-air limousine is rolling down Houston Street, about to take its left turn onto Elm Street, where the president would be assassinated. Again, as the left turn is made, the TSD is on the right-hand side. Now, this is a seven-story building. Lee Harvey Oswald was allegedly on the sixth floor of that building aiming through an open window that looked directly down Houston Street, with Elm Street running left to right just below it. Like, if you looked straight down, the sidewalk right there is Elm Street, but your view, if you look straight out, is Houston Street. You can pull up Google Earth and really just look at this whole area. This whole setting has me already questioning one big thing. If Lee Harvey Oswald was acting alone and we're sticking with the single shooter theory as the government has told it, why did he not take the shot as he had a perfect scope picture as that limo came down Houston Street toward the depository? And like I said, I put those maps out that I created from using Google Earth, and you'll see the president's route and you'll see this purple line that I drew. And that would be that direct sight line that Lee Harvey Oswald would have on the president as he turned off of Main Street onto Houston towards Elm. However, Lee Harvey Oswald waited until the limo turned left onto Elm Street, leaving a giant oak tree in his way, not to mention a light pole. He would then have to fire three shots in 7 seconds, and one of them just happened to be a near impossible kill shot. Now, you can go to YouTube and you can see the recreations of this day. There's the Secret Service did one, the FBI did one, private investigators have done one. There's just all these different videos you can watch on YouTube, and they're very interesting. I recommend that you go check them out because you'll understand what I'm talking about in this podcast if you really just look at the map that I drew and then look at these videos. And I'm going to mention this. You should really know that one of the main details is that Oswald used an old World War II rifle. And it's not that the rifle isn't a good sniper rifle. It's the main fact that the scope on this rifle was not aligned. The fact that the rifle scope is not aligned makes me scratch my head even more because the kill shot on Kennedy is so perfect. Lance Moore is an author, and in his book, Killing JFK, 50 Years, 50 Lies, he outlines the issue with the rifle the police found and how, with this misaligned scope, a perfect headshot like this one that killed Kennedy would be nearly impossible. You can get this on Audible. You can buy the actual book on Amazon, but it's just mind-boggling what Lance Moore put out there. The window of time that Lee Harvey Oswald had to shoot the president, this perfect shot would have had to be extreme luck. I almost think that you could win the Powerball or Mega Millions before you made this shot with 100 chances. The main thing that bothers me about the Zapruder film is the motion of JFK's body after he is hit by the kill shot. The Warren Report states that the third shot Oswald took entered the back of Kennedy's head, exiting the cranium in the front. This situation does not fit what my eyes are seeing in this video. As Kennedy's front part of his head pretty much explodes, for lack of a better term, his neck and body snap backwards to his left toward the First Lady, where he ends up falling onto her as she is pretty much facing him, worried about that first shot we were talking about earlier that kind of went through his lower neck and, they say, out of his necktie. Most of the brain matter is also found on the back of the car, suggesting a kill shot from the front and not from behind, because simple physics and momentum would carry that the way of the bullet traveling. It's almost like if someone were to slap you in the forehead, you would react by pulling your head backwards. If someone slapped you in the back of the head, your momentum would take you forward. The physics of his body don't add up with what is written in the Warren Commission report and what my eyes are seeing in the Zapruder film. Many single shooter theorists have tried to debunk the two shooter theory by saying the force of a back shot would cause Kennedy to jerk backwards, not forward, because of the power of the bullet making contact. However, this claim is just not true. The reality is, unfortunately, you can find many websites in which you can watch many, many videos of terrorist mass killings and executions, and you will never see a victim's head go backward when they are shot from behind. Many have also tried to replicate this with watermelons or other large fruits, cantaloupes, things like that. However, a watermelon and those type of fruits don't have a skull or a hard component to it, so what is physically witnessed shooting a bullet through a piece of fruit is not the equivalent to the human head. Now I have a couple ideas of where the shot could have come from. In fact, if you go to Google Earth and look at the area of Dealey Plaza where the president was killed, there are many areas that could have been utilized. You can check out the post on our Instagram that I mentioned earlier of the images I drew up after doing some calculations myself as an independent researcher. The first is the most accepted theory, that a shot came from the infamous grassy knoll, which I can totally agree with, but I'm looking at a different area of the grassy knoll that most believe it came from. There is this big monument, and there's an area there that people think the shot came from, and I kind of drew that up on the map, that the maps that I released on Instagram, and you'll see that it's labeled like not possible. Because Kennedy's head wounds and the direction that the car is facing during the kill shot, anywhere in that area of the monument would have been a side of the headshot, and the kill shot is actually more head-on. But if you look down the grassy knoll toward the train track overpass, you will see this little triangle nook at the end of the parking lot, which would have been a perfect area for a sniper to hide. Now you might look and say, well, Cody, there's a giant tree in the way. However, remember, this is late November, and the tree probably wasn't as full, and the limbs of that tree are high enough for a sniper laying down and aiming through that wall that's by the parking lot to hit the president on that downward slope that the road goes on. So that shot would have actually been below the tree limbs, and there would have been a perfect sight line and window for that shot to be taken from there. And that's where I think the most likely spot is, if we're going to argue the grassy knoll theory, that it came from. The other area I marked on my map is the opposite side of the roads of Dealey Plaza, either on the train track overpass next to the parking lot, or you can see there is a pedestrian tunnel, like a walkway, that goes under that overpass. If the shot was taken from here, this line actually is a perfect straight line to where the president's head would have been, and consistent with the head wounds as well. And again, remember, the limo is on a downward slope headed toward the train track overpass. So if a sniper was elevated in the spot, he could have had that direct line of sight, even over the windshield and also over the governor's head, because Kennedy is in the back and still would have been the highest point. A third location that is actually from behind that could have been the first shot that went through the back of Kennedy's neck is the Dell Tech building, which is right across the street from the TSD on the other side of Houston Street. Now, here's a theory that I will admit I came up with in my head. What if Oswald never even took a shot from his sixth-floor TSD window? He claimed he was just a patsy and was not responsible for actually killing the president. Then 2 days later, he's killed? Like, what did he actually know? That's the first question that goes through my mind. But this is what I think, and this is just a theory. What if there are two snipers? The first sniper was on top of or in the window of the Dell Tech building, which is right across the street from the depository on Houston Street, causing the first wound, in which we see in the Zapruder film, where Kennedy is grabbing at his throat and the first lady realizes something's wrong. Then a second shot from that same sniper on the Dell Tech building hits Governor Connally and misses Kennedy completely. And that would explain the magic bullet theory, that there was actually two bullets, not one, that went through the president and then hit Governor Connally. And then there's that second sniper that delivers the kill shot from the front. Now, the 7-second window they say Lee Harvey Oswald took all three of those shots, one being the fatal headshot, that window closes. Because with two snipers, this theory that, like I said, I came up with on the top of my head, just looking at the situation, you could definitely do this in a matter of 2 to 5 seconds. To me, this seems way more likely than Lee Harvey Oswald firing those three shots with a misaligned scope and then getting extremely lucky with the most perfect kill shot on the president. Now, I also drew out that motorcade route, which is, again, that orange line that goes from Main Street, taking a right onto Houston, left onto Elm. Now, as someone who goes shooting and has shot in competitions, you always want the clearest path and best line of sight of your target. That purple line I drew down to Houston Street, in my opinion, the one shooter theory would make so much more sense if this was the spot that Kennedy was assassinated. Because why wouldn't have Oswald taken this clean shot with no obstructions when Kennedy turned onto Houston Street? It would have given Oswald a clear line of sight. He wouldn't have had to be perched in the corner of a window, and also you wouldn't have to worry about collateral damage, like the governor or either of the ladies in the car or the Secret Service agents driving. The reason I really don't think Lee Harvey Oswald took a shot while the president was on Houston Street, especially for a longer amount of time coming towards the TSB, is because this was already planned. There were already snipers in position. They didn't need Lee Harvey Oswald to fire any shots. They already had people in place and waited for the president to be in that spot that they already had planned. It just seems to me that someone that was going to assassinate a president would have definitely planned this out a lot better, and they'd be looking to get away with it. However, Lee Harvey Oswald, after the kill shot, is just walking around like nothing happened and just leaves the rifle and three shells behind as evidence. This doesn't sit right with me. Just from being, like I said, an avid true crime fan, someone like Oswald would have had planned to stash the rifle, clean up the rounds, and have an actual escape strategy. And even if he got caught, he would have been proud of his cause. He would have cheered on communism and that he was the infamous shooter that took down John F. Kennedy and his whole administration. You don't just, like, if you look at it today with these terrorist groups, they're proud of what they've done. They come out and say, yeah, that was us. Why would Oswald not have done the same if the whole reason for killing Kennedy was for his purposes, especially if he got caught? What also bothers me is that the Secret Service wouldn't have done a sweep of this area before the motorcade started its route. Now, devil's advocate, we live in a time where, like, this very assassination changed a lot of things, but this isn't like Kennedy was the second president of the United States. There have been many presidents, and the whole strategy for the Secret Service is to literally die for them. And the fact that you wouldn't clear any of these high-rise buildings to look for a threat that could be a shooter waiting to kill the president, it's just insane to me. These are too obvious of spots for a shooter to sit when you have the life of a president in your hands. After the Kennedy assassination, there would be no more open motorcades, for obvious reasons. But the whole situation, again, none of it makes sense if you're thinking like a logical person.
At a little after 1 o'clock this afternoon, President Kennedy was about as alive as any human being ever gets. Young, strong, vigorous, looking forward to, no doubt, 5 more years, he hoped, of leadership in this country and of the Western world. His wife, young, beautiful, looking very happy, was beside him and seeming to be having a wonderful time and leaning across the back seat of the car to say to him, "You can't say Dallas hasn't been friendly to you." And that was a little after 1 o'clock. 5 hours later, at 6 o'clock, Mr. Kennedy had been murdered. Lyndon Johnson was president of the United States. Mrs. Kennedy was a widow, a brave and composed one that nobody could fail to admire. All of them were back in Washington, returning in the same airplane that took them to Texas to an incredible tragedy.
Now again, this episode, I've given you just the short form of the day of the assassination. And you might be sitting there and thinking to yourself, none of that made any sense. Not just the actual day, but even me. You might be sitting there saying, Cody, you're not making any sense. But that's totally okay. Because you don't have to believe what I believe. And that's a great thing about this country, is that I have freedom of speech, and I'm able to just put my thoughts out there. But knowing that the president was shot around the 12:30 mark of the day, and that he was pronounced dead at 1:33, just an hour later, and his body's put back onto Air Force One and flown back to Washington at 2:20, It just doesn't make sense to me. If a crime happens in any city, that person, their autopsy is done right there in that county and or city. But the president, they rushed him out of there. They rushed his body onto Air Force One. That way, government military doctors could be the ones to handle the autopsy instead of those in Parkland Hospital. And why is that? Is it because they wanted to change something? They wanted to alter the president's body, his head and neck wounds, to be able to convince the public that this was just a single shooter in Lee Harvey Oswald? These are all the questions that still remain from this day that were never answered. The government wanted you to believe the Warren Report. They wanted you to believe that the Warren Commission had done a thorough investigation. But next time, in our next episode, we're going to take a long look at some existing theories and why the Warren Commission report is just a falsified document. Thank you all again and always for joining us on the History on the Rocks podcast. Again, I really hope you're enjoying this series. I know it's short. I'm just trying to give you the information in the shortest of spells because I know I listen to podcasts too and audiobooks, and I lose attention time after time about what people are telling me because I just want a condensed version of it. And that's what I'm trying to give you is just this condensed version of the JFK assassination and just kind of these things that I'm seeing. And I know I've said this every episode, but my independent investigation, I have so much more in my head that I want to put on here, but I don't want to lose your attention. I want to give you the main points of the story and bring it to a crescendo and really just open people's minds to like what I'm seeing and historically investigating. And I hope that you're also following along with this in a shorter manner and I'm not clouding your brain with all this information. But like I said, very excited for next week. Please come back. We will talk some more about the theories and the groups that may have been behind the JFK assassination. So, enjoy your weekend. It's Friday. I'm so happy it's Friday. I thought Wednesday was Friday. I don't know. I thought Tuesday. This whole week has just been jumbled up in my head. And I'm just glad it's Friday. So go see some friends, see some family, get some drinks in, relax. It's the weekend. Hopefully there's some nice weather where you are. And just chill. We'll see you next week on the History on the Rocks podcast. Cheers!